Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, Doug.
Hey, Doug Benson.
It's great to hear your voice. Have you been gargling more?
All the time, constantly.
I wrote down the word gargling once, and I didn't care for how it looked.
It's a lot.
Our guest today is a comedian with at least one podcast, a newsletter, I think, that I get sometimes. She's always working on new material. It's our friend Jackie Cation.
Yeah, party time.
Well, there's no reason to say anything more than that. Let's go to work. Okay, there you have it. I warned our guest, Jackie Cation, that the theme song was assaultive. Was that all right, Jackie?
No lie, that was a lot. It felt like something Brian Posehn might have enjoyed.
Yeah, think so. I look forward to having him on so that I could play that song for him. And because I'm not really a metal dude, but I thought that for this particular show, it'd be a real, real fun way to start things off.
It's certainly energetic. Here we are talking about Doug.
Yeah. It's very, I don't know what the angle, the song sounds angry, but then it just says Wide World of Doug's over and over again. So I don't know.
It's a good pick me up in the, we're recording in the afternoon and kind of the lull part of the afternoon. So it's a good
break. It's like we're asking people to talk to us for an hour when it's probably, their nap time or certainly that time of day where they wish they could nap. And, and then we put it out later tonight so that people can listen first thing tomorrow.
I recommend, here's what's happening right after this: bath, nap, because then it'll be like three-ish. Which is bath nap time for Jackie Cation.
Does the bath ever accidentally become a nap?
It has. And look, I haven't died. You should never sleep in the tub.
But I
sometimes do. Yeah.
I don't think you should, but I do feel like every time that it's happened to me, even when I was fairly, drunk, there's just that, you got to be pretty out of it to not notice you might be drowning when you slip under that water.
Right.
That's
right.
Like somebody, that person should be a spy for our country if they could be, if they could sleep while being waterboarded.
Right.
Just be careful, everybody. Also be careful with the candles. I know candles are fun at bath time. But, you fall asleep, you kick one over, it lights the shower curtain on fire. And
I've always enjoyed a lavender oil. And now, as I age, a lavender Epsom salt. But let me just say that lavender, even if you're in your 20s, you still smell like an old lady. So nothing to be done.
But do you think when you smell an old lady that smells like patchouli, does that mean that she either currently or at one time wrote poems or jokes?
Oh, there was the patchouli. I just, a friend of mine an actress who I, an acquaintance, she's very nice, just spent a lot of time explaining to me the sage, cedar, rosemary burning in your house thing, telling me what it all meant, like I was in my 20s. I was like, I don't know if you know this, but I've been hanging out with patchouli stinky people for decades. I understand your rose quartz. It's supposed to open your heart. So you don't have to actually always tell me. You can assume that I know that when people say witch burning, I'm not actually, I know that when women weren't, witches weren't burned in the United States. I have that information. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if someone's wearing a excessive amount of beads and more than one skirt, I don't really need to hear about.
Right. I'm going to assume that they know things. Yeah.
What's going on, Jackie? Are you, I see that because I am an avid follower of all things Jackie Cation. I see that you are doing both in-person shows and internet shows. Like you're probably one of the more active comedians I know, but keeping it in both of those formats.
Well, that's because we're at the exciting world of vaccinated comedy is now available.
Yeah.
And so this is this will be my second weekend out. Last weekend I went to Arkansas. Not a bad way to edge in, only because I was opening. I only had to do 20s.
Right.
In front of Brian Regan. And let me tell you something. First of all, I've done 1,000 Zoom and online shows over the last year, 13 months. Not even kidding. And it is, I still, my timing, and I was, I'm not a panic attack person, but I had what could arguably called a tiny panic attack.
The lavender doesn't help?
The lavender's supposed to help. Mallet. It's but it was Arkansas, so people were stacked like cordwood. Like it was like the hold of a ship where horrible things were happening. But here's what happened. So Thursday everyone was like, well, no, that was fine. And I was like, yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. And so Friday, though, I went in with an entirely new attitude. First live show, second live show, Friday, first show. And it was the fuck it's. I was like, I'm vaccinated. If you people want to be all sitting like it's 2019 in what is a very, very clean comedy club, but they're seated too close together and the staff is all masked and vaccinated. I was like, there's still 141 people in a room that seats 180.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was their idea of social distancing.
Oof. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. And it's hard to get these numbers before you go out on the road. So I always worry that I'm going to show up somewhere and they're going to go, look, it's sold out. And like the place is going to be packed and they decided to not care about those rules. And I've got to decide where I stand on that, you know?
Right. And I had to I made the decision of, well, that's on you now. Cause and by Friday's second show, I was making fun of them and going, is this socially distancing in Arkansas? And it's like an entire state that went, screw it. We're just going to die now, but we're going to die in a group.
Yeah. They don't shake hands anymore. They go straight to making out.
It was so much. It was, I'm thinking about, there has to be a shirt that just says vaccinated. And I'm thinking of just buying 7 of them.
Did you see people after the show?
A little. Yeah. Brian can't, there was, you know, it was, there's too many to do any sort of meet and greet, mm-hmm. Usually. And in this case, he's just not in that mode, I don't think.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so I saw some of them and they were very nice. And you know, they wore masks away from their tables and the, you know, that's and the, good. Yeah. The, I mean, everybody was pretty sane about it, except for that it was so new for me.
Yeah.
That's why I was super twitchy about it. Like I also ate inside a restaurant for the first time in 13 months.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay, all right. And you know, and so by Saturday I felt like my timing still needs to be massaged, and sure, I still need to work all this stuff out. And this weekend, tomorrow I'm going to Seattle.
Oh, wow.
I'm doing Seattle Laughs, which I know. Yeah. Which I believe they're at 25%. They're not kidding around at all.
25%. So that's, I assume it's about a 300 seat room.
Yeah. So I think it seats 65, 75 max.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, if I was going to a show, I would love to be in a room where, you know, everybody, all the other audience members were super far away. Because I think, you know, even though obviously it hurts the show a little bit energy wise, I just think that everyone would be just so much more, you know, relaxed in that environment. You know, it's just I just wish there was like more of a, and again, this would cater to people with more money, unfortunately. So that doesn't work out so great. But, you know, I like to be able to pay more to have less people around should be like a thing.
Right. Well, and the tickets to see Brian Regan were $50 each.
Yeah.
And there was 141 people at 5 shows. So
and that's nothing compared to what he would normally make, because he normally plays theaters.
Right, theaters, and you know, I have to say that everyone should come, because I think people are also nervous about coming out, because much like me, nervous about standing in front of people, but they're being very safe about it. So if you were in Seattle, especially if actually exclusively if you're vaccinated, please be vaccinated, come to the shows. Because they're doing it right, and I need to fill the room at 25%, and everyone is scared. So, and I don't believe it's. I think the tickets are $20, and I'm giving away masks.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I had them printed over a year ago, because I thought that I was going to be traveling in madness, and so I was just going to give them away anyway. They just say joke hole.
I'm gonna do the first night at the reopening of the world famous improv in West Hollywood. That's tonight, because this episode will come out, you know, tomorrow.
Friday? Okay.
Yeah, Friday. So tonight I'll be at the very first. I got a spot in the very first show back at the
very cool.
I got the email. That's neat.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it's weird to feel honored by just getting a set, but that they asked me to be in the very first show back is made me feel good. And it's going to be like a super low. 25% or whatever.
And they're doing proof of vaccination at the frickin' door.
Yes.
Did you see that?
That's the other thing, is you have to show your vax card. And that to me is exciting, mostly because I don't have to have one.
I know that you're real discerning about what you put in your body, Doug.
Yeah.
No, like you don't want to just put anything in your body.
I'm not going to smoke some vaccine that I don't know what's in it.
Right. You're not going to, nobody's going to hand you a pill and you're going to eat it and then go, what was this?
Wouldn't that be, there's so many people that use the I'm scared of needles as a reason to not get vaxxed. It's too bad that it's not,
Yeah, there's so many like people saying things like that and other excuses, but you know it's not the real reason why they're not getting.
No, people are genuinely scared of needles. That's real.
Yeah.
Like there's people that will spend their entire lives not getting a shot for anything if they can help it, because they're so scared of it. But they're scared of it because they don't understand that if you look away, you barely even know it's happening.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like as long as you don't look at the needle going in, you just look away and it's over before you know it. And it's so easy. But I did get, I am officially vaccinated, but it hasn't been a month. I got the single shot. So,
okay.
So I'm excited. I'm excited that everyone will be at least,
So you're like 2 weeks vaccinated. Into the month that it has to be.
I'm a week in. I got it a week ago.
The Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, but they say that it's at its, you know, that it's at maximum potential protection in a month, but that it grows throughout the month. So
yeah,
you know, every day you get more protection, but I would have loved to just quarantine for a month, but I'm also so excited that you know, clubs are opening back up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. 2 weeks after I got my second one, I was just like, I don't know, should I find a vaccinated friend to hug? Or what I ended up doing was I went to a coffee shop that I like and had a coffee outside.
Wow. There you go. How weird is it that that's so exciting?
Yeah. It's pretty dumb, but you know, I also hate change so much. Like I hated, you know, last March when I came a year ago, March, when I came off the road, I was furious. I was scared. I was all the things, right? And I hated the change that I had to figure out how to do stand up on Zoom, that I had to figure out how to do but Dork Forest on Zoom. And then, you know, last week I hated change. I hated the idea that I had to go to an airport and that I had to perform in front of live people and that anyone could say the same thing that they've said to me for 30 years, which is, you're good. How come I've never heard of you? And I'm like, yes, yes. Because on Zoom shows, everyone who comes, they're fans.
Yeah.
You know, they know what they're coming to see, essentially. It's a unique experience for me. And so now I'm back to normal, you know, sort of wandered into a comedy club on a Friday. And that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm fine. I mean,
well, especially when you're opening for somebody, then, you know, obviously the people don't even necessarily know who the opening act is a lot of the time.
Sure.
But you headlining these shows at Laughs, I'm sure are going to be, you know, all the people that have been Zooming in that area with you are going to come out and be excited to see you in person.
I'm hoping because I've got all these new jokes because I got a right before we went into lockdown, I was scheduled to do a new album. And what I had was I had about an hour of material and 15 of it needed work. And here we are a little over a year later and I have about an hour and a half of material and about 15 of it needs some work.
Well, let's talk names because that's what we do on this show. You are called by everyone Jackie. Is that that's short for Jacqueline?
Yes, it is. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis is who I was named after because my parents were such close friends with them. No. I dream about seeing, there was a greasy spoon when I was a little kid in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin called Lloyd's Lunch. And my mother worked there for a heartbeat. And then I just picture Jackie Onassis at Lloyd's Lunch. Yeah. So, but it's Jacqueline and my family, a couple of my brothers will call me Jacqueline sometimes. And, just as in passing, but it's always Jackie. And weirdly enough, I used to play hacky sack a lot in college, which this doesn't age well.
My friends is coming back.
My friends in college used to call me Jack the Hack, which first of all, super butch. Second of all, I'm a stand-up comic. So
yeah,
not great.
You don't want to be called a hack.
No.
Or hacky. Like that's so funny. Jackie Hacky Sacky.
And one of my brothers calls me Wacky Jackie, but it's Jackie. And my name was actually, I'm the youngest of six. I have four older brothers and a sister. And so when they picked my name, my dad told me this story, is that they were in the hospital and they didn't know what to name me. So they put a bunch of names in, he was at my mother's bedside, hospital bedside, and they put a bunch of names into an ashtray. And then they picked the names until Jacqueline was left. And that's how I got named.
Wait, so they just threw out the other ones?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I love, I love the idea of pulling one out and going, oh, this one doesn't say anything on it, but it's covered in ash. Let's call it ash.
I like the fact that then they probably both smoked a cigarette next to their beds in the hospital.
Yeah, that's why the ashtray was there, because people could smoke in their hospital room.
Right, right.
Wow.
Oh, God.
That is wild to think about.
And I tried to ask him what the other names in the ashtray were, and he was like, I have no idea.
Yeah, it was that random. So you probably really lucked out. Like some of the other could have been awful.
Right. It could have been Tiffany. It could have been Gloria. We don't know. We don't know. It's actually the year that I was born. I looked it up for a joke to find sort of the most popular names of the year I was born, which was 1965. Kilmartin keeps telling people. And so and it wasn't Karen. It was Kimberly and Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. Elizabeth seems to never go out of style, because yeah. there's three or four goddamn names in Elizabeth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you know, true. Like it could be so many different things. So.
Are you guys Douglases?
Mm-hmm. We both are, yes.
Interesting. That's good. Yeah.
But I would imagine you could never guess calling us Douglas. Doesn't fit for either of us at all.
Yeah, it's weird. There's Douglas Fairbanks. He was the only one who could really carry it off, I think.
Yeah, and Douglas MacArthur. Like, the Douglas is a real, like, if you want people to respect you, you can try to go that route, but then you also have to be a respectable person. So,
yeah, the gravitas that so you have live up to.
I could never, people would just laugh if I went around saying, call me Douglas. besides Doug Mellard and Doug Benson, Jackie, have you had
you Doug Stanhope?
Doug Stanhope. Stanhope, uh-huh. And who else?
Other Dougs. Yeah. Yeah. That
most
is
of our guests. Most of our guests don't know a lot of other Dougs.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Dougs. I mean, the thing is, here's what's gonna happen right now. I'm gonna look in my contacts.
I love it.
Let's bring down the contacts, see if I got any Dougs in here. I think I know another Doug offhand, but I can't. Okay. So I have Doug Culp.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah.
He's a LA comic.
Oh, okay.
Thank God I have a note next to it that says LA comic. and then I know someone who has Douglas as a last name. But other than that, it's literally you two and Stanhope are in my phone.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I guess when they pull out their phone, it'll be like, I've got Doug the electrician. You know, like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's, some people follow Doug the pug.
All right. Sure, there's dogs named Doug. People think it's funny to name dogs human names, and often that name is Doug.
Yeah, it's really probably got a real boost out of that Pixar movie Up, because the dog's name is Doug in that movie.
Is that the only thing that was uplifting about that movie? Yes. The dogs were the only season. The rest of that, when she had a miscarriage in the first 4 minutes, I was like, what just... Hey.
Yeah, it's their way of saying this movie has anywhere to go but up.
Right. And then I just watched Soul, and I have to say that I loved Soul. It was actually great and much more cheerful than I thought it was going to be. But when he dies, I said, no, fuck this. And Andy, my husband he's like, slow play it. Calm down. We're going to watch. Because we had bought it on, I think, Disney Plus. You had to buy it, so.
It's amazing. The visuals. Oh, it's just, loved it.
Yeah, the animation is outstanding, but the story is beautiful. And there's a little bit, there's a bonus short with one of the tiny souls, the grumpy, sarcastic tiny soul.
Oh, they play it before the movie now?
No, you could also see it on Disney Plus. It's called 22 versus Earth.
Yeah, I got to remember to go find that, because that's the that was the most enjoyable part of that movie to me, was those little those little weirdos.
Little meeples. They were they were awesome. And
have you ever, and this is a question we ask everybody, so it's a really stupid question. Have you ever played a character named Doug?
I played Helen Keller once. Her name's not Doug. I have not, to my knowledge, played a character named Doug.
That's usually the answer. But even even then, when sometimes it's the answer, and then I find out later that the person did in fact play a character named Doug, but they forgot, because that's the thing about Doug, is it's a fairly forgettable name, but history has been made because we have the first ever, or is he the first ever second gentleman? I guess so.
Yeah.
So the first ever second gentleman is a Doug. He goes by Douglas, of course, most of the time, except for when his wife
Kamala's
is being sexy.
Husband's name is Doug?
Sure mm-hmm. is.
Ha! You're right. I forgot entirely that his
first name is Doug. Yeah. No, we have to remind people constantly that his name is Douglas Emhoff. And we just want to put it out there, if you or anybody that's listening, you know, comes across access to him, he's our, you know, our goal guest. He's our holy grail. If we get him on the show, you know, then maybe we could stop doing it or something. So, cause that would be just so hard to top that. But, if you can help in any way on that, we'd appreciate it.
Well, you should get, it's always so funny when I listen to a podcast and they have somebody that doesn't make any, it's so weird. You're like, how did you get him to be on your podcast? And the answer is almost entirely, we asked him.
Yeah.
And I was like, but how did you get to him? Like, right. 'Cause mostly the PR people and agents and managers are like, nope. I'm not passing this non-money gig on to anyone. And, I did J. Keith Van Stratton's and Helen Hong's podcast, and they do this thing where you say a thing that you're sort of dorky about, your favorite, and they ask you, it's a quiz thing where they ask you quiz questions, and then they bring in a special guest that is an expert on the thing that you like. And then they answer the question, and they got the guy who pitched in the 1983 World Series or 86 World Series that John Ross Bowie, that was his dorkdom. And the question was, who pitched that? He got it wrong. And then they brought that pitcher out.
Oh my God.
And so when they asked me my thing, I also got it wrong. It was a comic book question. And then I thought it was Dan Slott, and they brought out Mark Waid. And Mark Waid is an amazing. And I was like, first of all, this is humiliating to both of us because these are our heroes.
Oh my God.
But how did you get Mark Waid? And Keith was like, I just asked him. And so I went up to Mark Waid at that very event, and I said, would you do the Dork Forest? And he was like, yeah. So it could happen, you guys. You could get Douglas.
God, can you imagine playing the theme song right before he comes on?
I was hoping that you were going to say, I think it would have been hilarious if after you missed your question, if they brought the baseball player back out.
Hey, I don't know anything about baseball. What else can you tell me?
But then the other thing that flashed into my head during all of that was that, that people say yes a lot of times if you ask them, but it does help to, like, that guy got to see you being funny with J. Keith Van Stratton during your segment, right? He was there.
Right. So now
that's what I always like, try to take advantage of those level ups where when he's there and sees that you're part of the thing and that you're, the audience is enjoying you, that is the best time to
there's credibility. To jump yeah. in.
Yes. Yeah. You get instant credibility and you can just kind of ride that and see what happens. That's why I think most of the, you know, all the podcasts that are being done, all these actors, famous actors now have all decided to do podcasts, you know, following comedians. Yeah. And so comedians, we all had access to the most famous comedians, but now these actors have access to the most famous actors. So.
Right. Somebody did a TikTok with Harrison. So, yeah, someone did a TikTok with Harrison Ford. Oh my God. And I was like, oh, so you just know Harrison. Okay.
Nobody knows Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Well, Liz Winstead actually got Mark Hamill to do some gig because he was at something. And I was like, and so when I got to, I did it with him and I got a picture with him because I was like, all right, nerd, you are going to be asking this guy for a picture. And he is going to either think you're dumb or he's going to be super nice about it. And he was super nice about it. He was like, yeah, that's what people do. I'm Mark Hamill. he did not say that, but that's exactly it. Was just yeah. He was so nice about it, and he had clearly done it 100,000 times. He was like, here you go, turn it, there you go.
What a gem.
You thought so much of yourself that you thought you could be the final straw.
Right. Well, I didn't know you know when you go to Comic Cons and people are like, it's $100 for a headshot, and if you want a picture with me, and I didn't know. I know he doesn't need the money, but I didn't know if he was just tired. So,
right.
I wanted to respect that he might have just been exhausted, and hoping the green room was a safe space.
Well, Jackie, this has been a delight so far, so I can only imagine how much better it's going to get when we ask you questions that Doug and I have dreamed up specifically for you. And we're going to do that after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
We're back. We're here with Jackie Cation, and we're going to ask her 5 and 5. But first, Jackie, we would like you to
eat some leftovers.
Okay, that was, first of all, that was Doug using his real voice, Jackie. I don't know if you were impressed by that or not, but it blows me away every time.
Felt it yeah. Viscerally, every cell. What just happened?
He screamed that at you because I'm too polite to do that. So I said, Doug, will you scream, eat some leftovers at our guest? Because we ran out of time on the last show when Jonathan Mangum was here. He is the announcer and sidekick to Wayne Brady on Let's Make a Deal. And he is also a producer on a show called Game of Talents that's on right now. So anyway, cool guy, nice guy, ran out of time for his five and five questions. So Jack, if you don't mind, what we'd like to do is just quickly ask you the questions that we didn't get to for Jonathan. You can answer them as Jonathan or yourself. It's, you know, totally up to you.
Interesting. I love the idea. Let's do it.
We just went to the trouble of writing these questions for the guy and then ran out of time. So
are you going to ask the next guest the questions you wrote for me?
If we run out of time, we're going to try to get it all in.
That's 10 questions coming at me. I'm ready.
Yeah. All right. But don't feel like it's a speed game. That's the beauty of it. Is the reason we ran out of time is because we had some really thoughtful answers.
Oh, beautiful.
All right. So Doug Mellard's going to go first. What do you got from leftover Jonathan Mangum question?
All right. Jonathan/Jackie, with your game show experience, do you have a favorite in the current Jeopardy host derby, I suppose?
Oh, wow. You'd think I'd go Jordy, right?
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen him. We haven't seen him do it yet, but I'll let you finish, Jackie, because I have a real strong statement to make about Jeopardy hosts. Yes.
Right. I got to go with Ken. I'm going with Ken.
Oh, even wow. Though, yeah.
Yeah. Even though you'd think I'd go with Jordy, and I like the idea of that guy working.
First of all, I mean, the show could just become the rotating people who come through and do it show because, I don't think anybody's tuning in or not tuning in. I would hope they're not tuning in. It's totally host-based because you don't see them that much and they're basically just reading the answers and saying yes or no. There's not a lot of time for freestyle behavior. So, but that being said, I think honoring Alex's legacy with like what he might have wanted would make me think Ken Jennings is obviously a very good choice. And then also I feel like Alex would have liked to seen a woman or a person of color or, any combination. Yeah.
That was my other thing is as much as I like Ken Jennings as it is sort of he'd fit into it really smoothly. And then we would all continue to watch Jeopardy until he died. But I will say that if it were a woman or a person of color, that would, since that doesn't really happen. I mean, there's more black men hosting game shows than ever before, but that means three or two, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's such an iconic one. How great would it be if it were a woman who does none? Who does like if you want to be a millionaire? I think that was the only one that had a woman, and it was an after. It was, it's such a big deal. You know, it'd be like Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are the two the bookend mainstays of the game show that still exist.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Times are changing. Family Feud with Steve Harvey's number one pretty consistently these days, and there just should be more.
Mix it up.
Absolutely. So that being said, also saying that Ken Jennings, he hasn't really said, oh, I really want this job. He's just been pretty chill about it. And he's also worth so much money. So I don't think being a host of Jeopardy is necessarily his goal. I hope it's not, because I feel like it could end up going elsewhere just because it's such a great time to not hire another white guy.
Right. It is a great time to not hire another white guy.
Yeah. I'm sad to say it because it, it takes me out of the running. But
Right. But if you ever thought about writing a memoir, it's a great name.
Yeah. I've already got a name picked out for my memoir. I'm not sharing it with anybody because that's how clever it is. But I don't know if I'll ever, not be.
You'd have to write it first.
Not lazy enough to write a memoir.
I have always wanted to have written a book.
I co-wrote a book and it was one of the biggest pain in the asses of my life. I'm glad I did it because I can, you know, say I'm a published author, but oof.
I've written chapters and I don't care. It's not the same. And I want to have written a book, but it's so much work. I don't know that I would. We'll see.
All right. Yeah, that's fair. Jackie, April 20th just happened. What did you do to celebrate?
Right. April 20th.
Yeah. It's just a few days back.
It's just a few days ago, just a week or so ago.
Yeah.
April 20th happened. And what did I do?
Do you remember what you did that day? I mean, it'd be kind of perfect to not remember what happened on 420.
420, that's right. I was like, you know, here's the unique thing about you and I, Doug Benson, is that we've never smoked pot together because I can't smoke pot because you have 7 to 11 minutes to talk to me. And then I fall asleep under a pile of coats. That is my traditional pot smoking experience. So on 420, this one, Jackie Cation, probably did the same thing that I've been doing every day for 13 months, which is look at my garden. I probably put the garden in. I think I put the vegetable garden in.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing to do on 420.
Yeah, right.
It's also, isn't it? It's also Earth Day, or Earth Day is like the next day or something.
Oh, it's super spring, like baseball season. I was told to plant the first weekend of baseball season, and it's right around then. So yeah. That's when I put in, I think that's when I put in the garden.
All right. Good answer. Doug Mellard.
This is my first yes or no, but have you been watching Sasquatch on Hulu, or
no.
Did you watch it? No. Oh, so curious to get thoughts.
That was a whole sentence too. Yeah.
Doug, did you watch it?
I have not watched it. How much is it?
What do you?
How much of it is there? It's a series or a movie or what?
It's a series. It's a Duplass Brothers documentary.
Documentary Sasquatch. About yeah. Sasquatch.
Docu-series. Yeah. Mini docu-series.
Wait, docu-series. But they like, you know, those guys like to make, you know, very experimental movies and stuff. They do some quirky shit. Does it have a unique style?
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, it's got some unique things that go into it, but.
Spoiler alert, did they find Sasquatch?
Or? Yeah.
Well, can't let you know. Gotta watch it.
Is it in the vault?
Did you sign an NDA to watch the shit?
No, they found him. I can't believe you guys haven't heard about this.
Right.
I can't believe we didn't see the press conference where Sasquatch took some questions.
Standing next to him. It's Sasquatch, ghosts, and swimming with dolphins. They all belong in the same category with me. Don't want any part of it.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
What about... Where are you at with the, this is a bonus question. Where are you at with the whole government isn't telling us about all the alien activity thing?
Unmoved.
I don't care. I mean, I kind of appreciate the government keeping it a secret. As long as it's not, you know, as long as they're not blowing things up, then who cares what the aliens are doing?
Right. I'm looking for, I mean, I think that Stephen Hawking had this theory that if there were aliens, we would either be their pets or their foods. and so don't sweat it till you're a pet. And he's like, and pet would be the win, right? We wouldn't be hunted
yeah.
for.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Because then we would all just be kept in kennels and we would get to run or whatever. But I mean, it would.
Right. Because people treat their pets perfectly all the time.
Well, I mean, clearly someone would be having sex with some of, you know, the aliens would clearly yeah. there would be abuses, but mm-hmm. But it wouldn't just be food. Like if we were delicious.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. You know, so
we could be putting on shows for them.
Yeah. I also don't care about aliens, I guess, is the short answer. Yeah.
Well, Doug Mellard's clearly not scared of aliens because he's been in New Mexico for all of quarantine.
I've seen 5 UFOs here. It's insane. I'm not joking.
And you don't know what they are because they're unidentified.
Exactly. It's always the same time of day in the same area. But, you know, there's probably an Air Force base or something in that direction. But it's pretty crazy.
I live in Van Nuys, California, which is a great place to learn how to fly a helicopter, it turns out. Because I am being buzzed at least five times a day by the cops. We live between two hospitals and two airports. And people are learning. People are learning how to fly a helicopter.
Do you live close to where they do Let's Make a Deal?
I don't know.
Because there's a studio in Van Nuys where they shoot that show.
Oh, probably. Van Nuys not that big. I live sort of in between Van Nuys and Kester, Sherman Way and Satakoi.
Yeah, you got to be close to it, but I don't know where it is. I forgot. I should have asked him that when we had him on.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
There's incredible food around here, though. If you're ever looking for a taco or Argentinian.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely spent some time in Van Nuys. I had a Van Nuys address for a while, but if you write Sherman Oaks on the envelope, nobody knows the diff.
Right. Like, you just pretend you live. To look alike.
I know. Doesn't that sound great? Like, those places sound so much cooler than, like, oh, I'm in Reseda. Or
Pacoima. It's just north
Burbank.
Of here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so did you asked all 5 years now?
Yeah, my leftovers. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, we got it. Jeez, we're running out of time. All right. This is my last question that I had for Jonathan, but it's a fun question for Jackie. What is your favorite movie that has game shows that are either, you know, your favorite movie about a game show or that has game show scenes in it?
Ooh.
Ooh. It has to be Defending Your Life.
Oh, that's a really good one. That's more of a trial than a game, though, right?
No. Remember on the TV, there was Face Your Fears.
Oh, yeah.
Remember there were game shows on the TV in the hotel room.
I haven't seen that movie in a minute, but it is so good.
It's such a great movie.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's a little upsetting because, you know, the idea of, you know... purgatory and hanging around while they decide where you're going to go next is it's a bit tense. So all the people in that movie act so relaxed under those circumstances. Thank you, Jackie, for eating those leftovers. Are you full?
I could have five more questions.
Five, the main course is coming up right now, starting with Melly Mel. And question number one.
Fuck, marry, kill, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Star Wars.
Oh, how could you do that to Jack?
Oh, my God. Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and Star Wars. Yeah. Fuck, marry, kill. Well, we got to marry the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, you got to put a ring on the rings.
You got to put a ring on the ring. So what's left? Fucking and killing. I'll kill Star Wars because there's enough Star Wars in Lord of the Rings and in Harry Potter to make up for Star Wars. Oh. So I'll kill Star Wars and then I'll marry Harry Potter.
Killing
and you know
Star
what? I'll do it as a turf and because I support Harry Potter. I don't support J.K. Rowling.
Wait, so I've got that you're marrying Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter.
Well, I'm also a bigamist. A lot of people don't know that about me. I'm going to fuck Harry Potter. I'm going to marry. And you know who I'm going to marry in Lord of the Rings? Faramir. That's right. Get out of the way, Eowyn. I'm coming for him.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
All right. I'll take it.
Do you know what, Doug Benson? I have to tell you that laugh reminded me of Laurie Kilmartin, of the sort of... No, to be supportive. Well, that was a deep cut. What the? All right, whatever. Keep moving.
All right, here's your first question for me. Without naming names, name some names. No, Jackie, if you had to change your name, what would you change it to? I got the impression earlier that you're fine with Jackie. You don't have issues with it.
Don't.
But if you had to change it, what's your backup name?
Backup name.
Ooh.
Oh my God. This is a big one. Wow. I don't like this question. I think some form of Jackie for some reason. It's still going Jackie, because I was like, well, I think Jack, but that doesn't make any sense. And then I was thinking Jessica, because I've always liked Jesse as a shortened version of a name, which is sort of a boy. Because when I was a kid, I always wanted to have a shortened version of my name, never realizing I had a shortened version of mine. I wanted to shorten it even more. It was very weird. Jessica. sure.
Final, that's your final answer?
Yes.
There's a lot of debate
I was hoping you'd change it, because that is incorrect.
What was the correct answer?
The correct answer is, this is weird, Shecky?
right, Shecky-cation, actually. There's absolutely no reason I wouldn't get all the work.
Yeah, I mean, I consulted, I consulted some people, and that's what they came up with.
That's what I had written down. That's nuts.
That all is right. Nuts. Is the this your card? Again. Okay.
If I remember correctly, your husband, Andy, worked for Sega, right?
Back in the day.
Sega, okay, that's your question. My turn.
I was going to ask, what is Andy's favorite Sega game?
Oh, this is like the Newlywed game. I don't know. But he did, the game he made for Sega Dreamcast was called the Floygen Brothers.
Fliggin Brothers, I don't remember.
Yes. Oh, wait, he's here. What was your favorite Dreamcast Sega game?
Oh, my favorite? Well, besides the one that I made? Hello.
Hello. Hey, Andy.
What was it?
The Fliggin Brothers was the game that I made, so of course that's my favorite.
And
but the one that I think I played the most, well, there are two. Soul Calibur. Played a lot of Soul Calibur.
I remember that.
Yep. And also played a lot of the Star Wars Episode One Racer.
Oh, yeah.
Pod Racer. There you go.
Pod Racer, yep.
Oh. And
Doug Mellard, now you know.
What was that?
I love it.
There was a fighting game, too. What was the name of it? It sort of presented itself. It was it presented itself as like a stage, and it had these cool sort of stages that you'd fight around on.
Ooh, I don't remember that guy.
Mm.
It's funny, the first Star Wars movie, not so great, but the video game's fantastic.
Yeah, that, well, the racing, see, honestly, the
oh, it was a pod racer game from Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good times.
It was great. It was the best scene in the movie and the best game, the best Star Wars game.
Weird.
Excellent. Greg Proops did the announcing. Now we know.
You're Greg Proops. Greg Proops was in the video game too?
I don't think so. He might have been.
You know what? I don't know.
Scott Capurro and Greg Proops were the two-headed announcer in the movie.
That's it.
Yeah, and that announcer was in the game, but I don't know whether it was Proops voicing him or not.
There you go.
Interesting.
Don't forget to Google.
They probably went non-union.
Well, thank you.
All right, my next question for Jackie goes a little something like this. What is Bam Bam and Celeste?
It is a Margaret Cho vehicle that she, I believe, produced herself, that she asked me to act in, that I was so bad at that she had to give me a different part because she desperately wanted me to act in it. So it was actually, it was a movie. It was sort of, remember Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But done just sort of Route 66-ish.
And it was, it came out? Like, it's,
it is a film. I believe, I don't know about distribution, but it was released, and I know it is available as a DVD. It was a bad time for me acting.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sorry to have brought it up. I just was... I was confused by the IMDb entry because I've not personally heard of Bam Bam and Celeste.
Well, and I have to say that it came out right after Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. And so it has a little bit of that vibe too. And I just mentioned it to Margaret Cho probably a week and a half ago. And she was like, oh my God, I forget it that it. She was like, that was expensive. I made that movie. And
I wasted a lot of money on that.
But it was really fun.
And
Celeste.
Yeah. Go, Doug.
All right. Favorite comic book series currently, or favorite comic you're reading?
Oh, wow. Andy just went to the comic book store without me.
Jerk.
I really like, I think it's Mark Waid doing Daredevil.
Oh, very cool.
Or it might be Peter David doing X Factor. It might not be, but whatever it is, there's a new X Factor. There's the current Daredevil. Ta-Nehisi Coates is doing Captain America that I love a lot. I think it's Matt Fraction doing the Fantastic Four. And weirdly enough, Kelly Thompson and Kelly Sue DeConnick are both doing things that I'm loving right now that I'm spacing the names because I may have gotten the authors wrong. And on each of those comic books, but that's what I'm reading and that's what I'm loving.
No, it was John Bowie,
right.
Pitcher,
and then all of a sudden, John Ross Bowie comes out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, those are all. I'll plug Strange Adventures with Mitch Gerads and Tom Kings as well. Fantastic,
yeah, they're Strange Adventures is amazing.
Such a good run.
We're doing that,
yeah.
Did you read Red Black? Did you watch Falcon Soldier?
Oh my God, it's amazing. And Doug, you watched that too, right?
I saw the first two and then I dipped, but not out of not enjoying it. I just, just had other stuff I needed to watch, right.
Any Marvel movie out there. It's great.
I'm definitely going to revisit it. The first episode is a lot of flying around and not much Winter Soldier at all. So
yeah.
when the most exciting scene was trying to take out a bank loan, I was like, maybe this isn't my mom.
That bank loan spoke to the plot though.
Yeah,
it really did.
Yeah. I'm more on board, but I'm also like, unfortunately don't want to hear any spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get to Elijah? Because I don't know if you've read Red, White, and Black, Truth, a Kyle Baker about the Black Captain America.
Oh yeah.
Kyle Baker. It's such a great. I read it probably 12 years ago. It keeps going out of print. It should never be out of print.
Right.
First of all, the art is Kyle Baker, and I believe he wrote it as well. He's got he did an amazing run, a Plastic Man, very silly Plastic Man for DC. Yeah. And he also did his own, like it was an indie thing called Special Forces. It was right at the, like 2005, 2006 when the recruitment was down with the Army.
Oh yeah.
So they were in Washington State, they accidentally recruited because they needed to fill quota, a kid with the, either Down syndrome or profound autism. And they sent him to basic.
Whoa.
And essentially it's about that. It's about a kid that they, who has, I think, severe OCD, and it's called Special Forces, and it's pretty great.
Oh yeah.
And the art is ridiculous. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Invincible.
Oh, yeah, which is out on Amazon now, I believe.
Yeah, and too graphic. I read probably 100 issues of that, and I was like, no, I get it.
Oh, you mean the TV version's too graphic?
I don't know. I haven't watched the TV version, but I understand the TV version is pretty gross. But it just was the same.
Animator.
Yeah, and I like his other stuff, but I know that that's his baby, but
right.
Oh, well. I don't mean to be critical of anyone's creative work. Is so, I am supportive.
Well, that's very nice. I think we only have time for one more question. You played an airport security guard on Murphy Brown. The question is, were you a mean security guard or a cool security guard?
I was a dumb security guard then became very stern. So mean, I guess, in the long run.
Dumb and mean.
Yeah, because I busted Jim Dial with a bag of pot on him.
Wow.
Medical marijuana. He had had some sort of glaucoma, and they gave it they gave him, and this was the first instance of medical marijuana on the television.
Wow.
I played the airport cop. He forgot it was in his pocket because he didn't smoke at all. It wasn't exactly, it didn't feel critically accurate, but for continuity, but he had left it in his jacket pocket for like 2 years and he gets busted by airport police. Yeah.
He's kind of an uptight character though, right? Normally he's kind of a,
He's a stiff board. Yeah. He was.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wouldn't imagine him getting caught with weed at the airport. That's crazy.
That's why it got wacky. That's why it was super wacky. Yeah. It was the twist. He was also, by the way, that was my first acting experience. And I didn't know where the cameras were or anything. And so the director came over to me. He's like, why is your back to the camera? And the guy, Charles, I forget his last name offhand, but the guy who played Jim Dial literally said to the director, he said, I think that was me. I think I was crowding her.
Oh.
And then that guy walked away and he said, that X is your mark. Just cheat a little bit more that way. And that means
true. That was nice of him.
And I was like, you are the nicest man on the planet.
I look forward to forgetting your name.
I look forward to not remembering your last name, but remembering the character's name forever.
Just like all ducks.
Right.
That's a perfect way to wrap it up. I haven't thought of we always come up with like a Doug kind of pun to title the episodes.
Oh, I got one.
Did you come up with one, Doug?
How about Doug Forrest?
Oh, instead of Dork Forrest. I love it.
That's great.
The Doug Forrest. Welcome to the Doug
You've
Forrest.
Both done the Dork Forrest, have you not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
All right.
What else would you like to plug, Jackie Cation?
I would love people to get vaccinated and come see me do live stand-up comedy. I'm in Seattle tonight and tomorrow at Laughs in the University District. Next week, I'm in Fort Collins and Boulder. And then at the end of the month, I'm in South Comedy Works in Denver. And I'm recording my new album in July at Acme.
Whoa, fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
Jackiecation.com.
Acme's a great club. Another one I want to get back to. It's just so small and underground.
Right, he's only, I think he's at 40%.
Yeah, oh, wow. I bet.
And he's doing and he's got those plastic shields in between tables.
Wow,
way to go! Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's great. The only other weird thing about the club that I was at in Arkansas is we shared the same mic, which I haven't enjoyed at any time in these things. Yeah, right. I don't know what they're going to do in Seattle, but I might bring some Clorox wipes.
Yeah, just have a wipe and, you know, make a joke, you know, like
make a joke about it.
I mean, comedians used to do that to other comedians all the time to like kind of make jokes about, you know, whatever that comedian might, whatever diseases they might have. So like, you know, it's not like it's, you know, people aren't used to that. So.
Right. And I'm more than willing to even say I've wanted to do this the whole time, which should get a laugh.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And then proceed to wipe down the faces of the people in the front row.
Who hopefully will be at least 3 feet away from me.
That's people love to sit close. So that's what bothers me is that like, why not? Why can't we just live in a world where there's a moat between us and the audience, you know, of 6 feet. And then that way you just don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I do like how close they get, though, because I like to tell a joke into somebody's face and see in their eyes if they're ignoring me. They aren't. They're very
Doug
smart.
Mellard. Doug Mellard, anything to promote real quick?
I don't have any dates until the fall yet, but I'm mad scrambling to try to get something a little closer. So I'll come back to that maybe next week.
Okay. Like I said, tonight's the reopening of the Hollywood Improv. So I'm excited to be performing there. And then Saturday night is the final Magic Asphalt show at the Magic Castle parking lot in Hollywood. Wow. Those have been super fun to do, but the Magic Castle's reopening, so they don't want shows going on in their parking lot. They want cars in their parking lot. So we're getting kicked out of there as of Saturday, but you know, come out to the final show if you all want. Thank you again to a great guest, Jackie Cation.
Jackie Jessica Cation.
Yeah. Jackie Jessica Jackie Vacation.
Sheka. Jackie Jessica Shecky
Cation. Shecky Cation. Check it out. Thanks for having me.
Thank
and
you.
We'll, you know, we'll ask our remaining questions for you to our guest next week. I'm Please trying to see do. Who's it going to be. Oh, I think it's going to be Sam Levine, so that'll be fun. As always, the Doug Forest.
Got it.